WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Now, I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this. The result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The Queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Okay, this is the Raw Post Show. MBG Films presented, which is youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sir Rock, and that's Lindsay Ward. So,
I don't even know how to... Okay, alright, no. I'm just going to say this. This was... Are we just gonna talk about it? Should we just talk about it?
We need to just talk about it. Okay, let me set it up.
Okay.
So, the show opened with the premise of Seth Rollins is now the Universal Champion. He's a fighting champion. Out came Kofi Kingston. They all celebrate it. They're like, yay, we're cool, we're cocky, we're bad. Because I hear hearing Honky Tonk Man on the screen at the moment on the Hall of Fame replay. They're like, we're here, we're cool, it's all a big celebration. But we watched the main event at WrestleMania and went, hey, maybe we should do a... winner takes all match. So they decided, okay, that'll be your main event. Kofi Kingston, Seth Rollins for the winner takes all. Kofi was the one who made the challenge. So they have the match, which is interrupted by the bar. And they turn into the bar versus Rollins and Kofi. Kofi and Rollins win. During the break, once they made this change, AEW chance, CM Punk chance, BS chance, all that nonsense, beach balls, you name it, the usual plunder of a thing. Then it got worse, and Lindsay doesn't know about this part.
What do you mean I don't know about this part? You hid something from me?
I read it as I was doing the welcome to the show thing.
Oh, God, what happened?
Then they brought out Roman Reigns, who got booed.
Oh, great. Well, at least they didn't do it on live TV, so there is that. But that's what you want after you did all this hard work to, like...
They're sending the crowd home happy. It's the Ambrose send-off. It's the curtain call for Ambrose. That's what they're doing right now.
Well, that's nice. At least they're doing a curtain call for Ambrose.
Okay, that's... They're at least making the crowd happy now with the Shield ending thing. The send-off of Ambrose. Which, on Raw, he got put through a table by Lashley, and Renee Young had to console him.
But, okay, let's go back to
Go back to it.
Okay, so... This was probably the most well-behaved, happiest Raw after Mania crowd that we've seen in, I would say, 5 years, 6 years, something like that.
Yeah.
Just because they're generally unruly, they're generally drunk, they're generally just there to have fun. They don't really give a crap about what's going on 90% of the time. And the people that they do care about, that's when they actually do give the crap, obviously. But, you know, they were into it. They were loud. They were having fun. You know, they were reacting the way that you wanted them to everything on this show, right? It was like when you open with Rollins, they were all into Rollins. And then when Kofi came out and they announced the match, everybody was like, yeah, okay, all right, let's do this. You know, they reacted perfectly the whole night. You got to this match and they were beyond into this match. Like, everybody was super focused on this. So when the bar came out, you lost that crowd. Lost them. Like, you physically hear just the brick go through the glass window and the crowd just breaks. And they were vocal in their displeasure. I think everybody was vocal in their displeasure in this. And it's not so much the bait and switch that they did, because it's like, okay, all right, this has to end one of two ways. Either Kofi or Seth win the other's title, which if Kofi loses, there ain't nobody that's going to be happy about that. If Seth loses, okay, we'll be happy because it's Kofi, right? We'll be super happy because Kofi will be essentially the unified champion, temporary unified champion, whatever you want to call him, a la Becky Lynch. And so it's like, well, I'll be cool with that. Or there has to be shenanigans and there is not a finish to this match, which gets them out of this situation. They went with the no finish, which is fine. But the way that they did it was they did it with about 12 minutes left on the show. And you did it with the bar. Which, no offense to the bar. I love the bar. I love Sheamus. I love Cesaro. They're a great tag team. Very entertaining. Why the crap, out of everybody on that roster, would you pick the bar?
Because they're the ones who set the bar.
Right. But still, it's, okay, so Brock is not there to interrupt Seth. Brian and Rowan are there. Somewhere.
One would assume.
Backstage. Yes. One would assume that they're there. I'm pretty sure everybody's still there because they're doing SmackDown, I think, from Brooklyn tomorrow, too.
Yeah, but so, doesn't mean they're at the building tonight, because if they're not being used, they don't have to be there.
Right, but I'm pretty sure they could have had Brian and Rowan there. It makes a lot more sense, at least to me. I'm not a writer, but to me, storyline-wise, it makes 100% more sense to have Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan interfere in the match, or you have Rowan interfere in the match, and then Bryan comes out smiling because he screwed up the moment for Kofi as some sort of like small petty little payback that Bryan can do to Kofi after last night. So then you book the tag where Seth's like, all right, you know what? F you. We're going to do the match. And then you do the tag team match between Brian and Kofi and Seth and Rowan. And you just have those four collide. And that's how you could close that show. And I feel like the fans would have been much happier with that than doing the bar.
It would have been better than the bar, but they still wouldn't have been happy.
Well, they still wouldn't have been happy, but it would have been easier to get the crowd back, because I don't think they ever really got the crowd
back. No, they didn't get the crowd back, because then I feel bad for Sheamus. I feel bad for Cesaro, because they always get put in this spot. Always. Always. Whether it was Randy and Sheamus for years having the match that got crapped on at the night after WrestleMania, or Cesaro.
Sheamus and Cesaro.
Yeah. Whoever it was,
It generally involves Sheamus. I think it's actually technically Sheamus that they do it to. It doesn't matter really who he's with. If he's involved in it, they're going to crap all over him. But, I mean, or at the very least, if you're going to have the bar interrupt the match, you let them go the full time to the end of the show, and at the very end of the show, the bar interrupts.
Right, and then tomorrow you could have booked, had Seth Rollins show up and had the match tomorrow.
Yeah.
That would have been fine, because we all knew there wasn't going to be a finish. We all knew once they made the match, because there's no way they're unifying the titles, because they can't, because there's a brand split. They're not going to do that. There's no way it was happening. So it's like, you could have...
There was a lot of different ways that you could have told the story,
even if you debuted,
and gotten to the same end.
Yeah, and even if you debuted someone at the end, you know what I mean? It just felt very flat.
This was, in terms of writing, just in terms of telling a story, I think it was a little too jarring just because it made no sense. And they tried to excuse it with the announcers by saying, oh, well, you know, the bar and the New Day, they have a history together and, you know, da-da-da-da. Well, okay, but why would New Day care?
Right.
Why are they going to interrupt Kofi's match? They're not feuding with each other right now. Okay, there's a history, but unless you're going to have E and Woods come out and like beat the crap out of the bar, then you're not, there's no reason for them to be out there.
Made no sense.
It logically, again, it's like, you know, why didn't you just slot Brian and Rowan in there?
Now, I'll go from their side. I'll defend them in this case.
Okay.
I know what they were trying. They believed the popularity of Kofi Mania would have run wild more so that whatever stupidity they tried in the main event creatively would have covered it. Clearly, there's only a limit of what Kofi Mania and Seth Rollins can handle that could cover the stupidity of what the booking was.
I feel like, honestly, it could have if they had done it differently. Like I said, if they had used different people, they probably could have gotten away with it. But because they used who they used and it made zero sense and it added nothing to the story and it interrupted, frankly, a really good match, then, yeah, I can totally see why it didn't work. Because, again, the crowd was just like, what the hell? Because the second they announced this, everybody was like, okay, all right. We're all a little worried for Kofi. But, you know, because the last thing you want is him to get the 24-hour title reign after 11 years. That would be pretty shitty of a WWE to do to him. So we're all a little concerned, a little worried. And so when they went for the no finish, it's like, oh, thank goodness. But yeah, I mean, this just creatively, to me, just made no sense. Like, it made zero sense in terms of a story. Because then it's like, because to me, it's like, again, and I'm going to go back to it, Rowan, and even if you just had Rowan interrupted at the very end, at like 10:58, you have Rowan come out and he kicks Kofi Kingston in the face. That makes a lot more sense than the bar interrupting. Because then you could just have Rowan and Kofi do a stare down, and it's like, you know exactly where that's going to go.
Yeah.
Tuesday night, Brian and Rowan versus Kofi.
Oh, yeah.
And Seth shows up.
You could have done something, but again, they don't know. So I want to move past that stuff because there's other things we need to get to.
Yeah.
Becky Lynch showed up tonight as the man, holding both titles. She was happy.
She wasn't over at all.
No, not at all. She was very happy, very excited, yada, yada, yada. She made her speech. Done. Simple, to the point. Lacey Evans walks up, gets in her face, gives her the women's right. They brawl. They have to be pulled apart.
Props to Lacey for taking the beating in a dress and heels.
Yeah. So, they're finally doing something with Lacey Evans. Thank
goodness. Thank God.
Thank goodness for that. Elias came out tonight. Had a performance. He rapped a little bit and said he was holding up three fingers and only one was for John Cena.
The one in the middle was for John Cena.
The one in the middle was for John Cena.
Super edgy.
Very edgy. He said the next one to interrupt him is going to be a dead man.
As he turns up the sound on the TV, because I know what that means.
It only means one thing. The dead man cometh. He makes his way to the ring, slowly. Makes his way to the ring. Elias slowly takes all his stuff off. Undertaker just stares at him. Fans chant, Taker's gonna kill you. Boot. Chokeslam. Tombstone. Hairline. It's over. Cool, the Undertaker was there. She went, Lindsay went, and I quote, you know what would be good? And this was like 2 minutes before this happened. If the Undertaker showed up.
See, he heard me. He knows.
And then he showed up.
Well, we're going to explain why I said that here in a second, I think. But yeah, Taker looks really good. He posted out on Instagram, because again, the Undertaker has an Instagram, don't play the sounder, that he's lost 25 pounds. He's an Instagram whore, by the way, now, in case anybody's curious. He's hawking stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Deadman's got to make that money somehow. So he was showing off essentially the weight loss tonight. He looked really good. He's trim. He's fit. The hairline has just gotten extremely unfortunate. I don't mean to laugh. I really don't mean to laugh. But yeah, if he kept the hat on, it looked really, really good. When the hat came off, it's like, oh, honey.
He tried to keep that hat on.
He tried so hard to keep that hat on because he knows. He knows his hair is just... It's unfortunate. It's it was bad before, but it's getting
thinner.
It's very thin. Very, very, very thin. And I hate to bash the man's hair. I really, really do. I don't mean any offense. I swear. It was like, from like the hat band down, it's all like thick and lush and nice and beautiful, right? Like he's got it. And then that hat comes off and it's just, he's got the skull thing going on. And it's just like, oh. Like when he flipped it back, it looked a little better.
Not really, because you saw where it was thinning.
You saw it on the sides where it was thinning, but at least on the top. It
no,
looked
you
better.
Saw there was a shot on the top where you can see.
Oh no,
it.
I know exactly where he does the tombstone and then he pins Elias and yeah,
you see
yeah.
That, yeah. Yeah.
The hair was very unfortunate. Hopefully something can be done about that. I don't know if there's anything you can do about that. But, yeah, the rest of him, he looked great. He was moving well. He's trim. He's tan. He's a night late, but that's fine. I'll take him any way I can get him, because at this point, there aren't going to be too many more of these, I'm figuring, although who knows, because I'm pretty sure the man's going to go forever. But super nice to see him. Always happy to see him. I was a little bummed he didn't show up last night. It's like, aw, it's a Mania without Taker. Aw, that's unfortunate. But yeah, so very, very happy to see The Undertaker. Very happy.
Okay, so there you go. Taker's back for at least one night. Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins retained their tag team titles over The Revival.
Yay.
Baron Corbin came out as Brooklyn's favorite son. Fans did not like him. He wanted a gold medal. Out came Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle ended up laying out Baron Corbin with a... He said he wished Baron Corbin luck, kept the handshake going, bad luck, and gave him the angle slam and an ankle lock. And then Lars Sullivan showed up. And
they found him.
If they found him. And he laid out Kurt Angle in Kurt Angle's final appearance on Monday Night Raw, apparently. For now.
Yeah, it was... I honestly really liked how they intro Baron Corbin into the show, where they had Mike Rome get out there. Was it Mike Rome or was it Greg Hamilton? I forget who. It was the ring announcer.
Mike Rome.
Okay. So he gets up and he's like, now introducing a former general manager of Monday Night Raw. I was like, oh, they're bringing Kurt out. How nice. And he's a former this and a former that. And then I forget exactly what he said. Oh, no, it was, and the man that defeated Kurt Angle at WrestleMania. I was like, oh, they're bringing out Corbin. And then he's like Brooklyn's favorite son in the crowd, just like, boo. I was like, oh, okay, all right, that's good. That was a nice little touch right there to just like intro Corbin out.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they do stuff like that, I really like him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's how he should be. I just wish they had done that when he was general manager. But,
yeah,
you know, whatever.
Whatever.
So, this was a good little segment.
They tried when he was general manager. They tried.
I think they tried. They just didn't try hard enough. Like, the man has a natural personality to be a heel, but again, they just don't. They don't let him be him.
No.
If you, like, read his social media, if you watch him on the suites, if you see him in any application outside of WWE... TV, he's actually really entertaining, and you can see exactly what they see in him. He's kind of like Roman. It's like, or Roman was, I should say, where it's like you could see the natural personality, you could see how funny, how sort of like heelish Baron is, all these different things, because he's got a really quick wit, like a really, really quick wit and a very sharp tongue. And so it's like all of it's there, but it's like when you put the WWE cameras on him, it just doesn't translate, which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird, but he's got that same kind of problem where it's like I think they don't know how to write him, or they're trying to write him as him, and it's just not working. But this was really good. And then Lars showing up, good. Yay, Lars is okay, number one. That's important.
Mm-hmm.
Glad to see he's doing well. He's here. He's back. So they've got the debut. It's a few months too late. Or I shouldn't say too late, but it's a few months late. But again, he had problems, so it's allowed. And so, yeah, he got to attack Kurt Angle and beat up Kurt Angle. And so Lars Sullivan, a mountain of a man, is back. And I think they waxed him.
Yeah, a little bit.
He got groomed, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So which everyone... appreciates.
Mm-hmm.
Wholeheartedly.
Aleister Black and Ricochet beat Gable and Rude. Rude kind of gave Ricochet a cheap shot after the match, so we're going to see the Gable and Rude go a little heelish, which is good for Bobby. Bobby needs to be a heel.
Yeah, Bobby's a better heel. He's always been a better heel than a babyface. The only exception was when he was with Storm doing Beer Money.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, he is a way better heel.
Alexa Bliss made her return to the ring on Monday Night Raw, beating Bayley.
She did good.
Yeah, it was fine. It was good to see her back in the ring. We mentioned Becky. We mentioned the Dean stuff. Mojo now has a broken mirror with blue veins in it on the side of his face. So whatever that is, guess we're going to see something out of him.
He's going full hype.
Apparently. Then we see the return of Sami Zayn. He said, did you guys miss me? Did you miss me? And we're all like, yeah. So his schedule's wide open. He wants a match. So he wants an opponent. Out comes Finn Balor. Two men have a really good match. Finn Balor beating Sami Zayn to retain the Intercontinental title. No real shock there.
No real shock, but the aftermath of this is...
Interesting.
Is interesting because you have Sammy cut a really good promo on the crowd where basically we're all toxic, we're all jerks.
Super toxic. The WWE is a super toxic environment. Not because of the man or anyone in the back. It's because of this audience and your ugliness. He said he lives a meaningful and truthful and fulfilled life, but the lives of the fans are so empty and devoid of meaning that they only get joy they get and joy and satisfaction they get is to be critics. He called him one of us morons, and he's one of the fans morons. Zane said they judge everything but themselves. He said they're delusional. You really think you guys are the voice of reason? He said. Zane said they have become the evil overlords of WWE. He said the right thing isn't to come back and save WWE or take over WWE. The right thing to do is to come out every week and hold each and every single one of the fans accountable, because no one else will. See you in hell.
This was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is the writers sort of thumbing their noses at all the fans, which they like to do time and time again. But coming from Sammy, it has a lot of weight. It was really well delivered. It was really well done. And, I mean, there was some truth in it. Not even gonna deny it. There was truth. There are people who are, I feel like, who watch wrestling in general because they hate or they just want to bash it, or there are people who watch WWE specifically because they want to bash it and it makes them feel better about themselves to bash it. Like, that's legit. That's a thing. That happens. You know, we don't try to do that. We try to keep it positive. But, you know, yeah, we are critical. Does it make us feel better about ourselves? Not really. No. I think we just do it because it's fun to do it. But it's us getting to sit here and talk wrestling and interact with you guys in the chat if you're listening, or, you know, talk to people on the air. And if anybody listens to our opinions, you're amazing. But if you don't, okay, that's fine. But yeah, so this was really well done. This was very interesting. Enjoyed it quite a bit.
So that's it. That's everything that happened on Monday Night Raw.
Oh, no. There was one other thing we need to discuss. I don't get a point for it, damn it, but we are going to talk about it.
There's something that happened. Okay.
All right.
Hold on. This is what we're talking about. It's a box. With smoke coming out of it. And then the second, the box opens.
With a puppet.
That's a familiar laugh, isn't it?
So after 7 long goddamn months of waiting and hoping and praying for him to show back up, Bray Wyatt, there's hand gestures going on, you can't see them. Bray Wyatt has finally returned to us in the form of a buzzard puppet in a Hawaiian shirt coming out of a box. I am both terrified and highly intrigued at the same time. If he has some sort of like puppet master thing going on, I'm gonna be very, 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 very worried. And I mean very worried. I really want him to just cannonball back into the lake of reincarnation and find Abigail at the bottom, wherever the hell she is, and just come back to us, please.
I don't think we need to worry about it being a puppet gimmick.
I hope to hell it's not.
I think it was. I think we were not supposed to think it's a puppet. I think we're supposed to just more look like it's a buzzard, and go, "Hey,
buzzard Hawaiian shirt, Bray Wyatt, got it."
Right.
Creepy laugh, got it. But if he has found his mojo again, if he is creepy as hell again, if he is back to being Bray, then I am all here for this. Like, just go ahead, give me the thing, do the thing. I mean, rumors are flying that they were recording stuff with him. Rumors have been going around that he was coming back very, very soon, but it's like, when? When is he coming back? They've had every opportunity for the last, let's say, 5 months or so. I think that's when he's finally was cleared, six months?
About 3-4 months.
Yeah. Okay, fine. 3-4 months. They've had 3-4 months to bring him back, and we've been waiting. And where is he? Nowhere to be found. His hand showed up somewhere, but nowhere else to be found. mind. So this is exciting. This is intriguing. I want to see where this goes. I'm just a little worried because part of the rumor is that they've redone the character a little bit. They've like tweaked it. So that could be really good or really bad, depending on who did the tweaking. If it is the dude that plays Bray, I'm on board. I'm 100% on board. If it's creative, we may have to let that one play out. Because that, again, that could be terrifying. But nonetheless, there are signs of life of Bray Wyatt coming back. Thank Jesus. Finally. Again, a night too late. But thank Jesus he's coming back. Rock doesn't have to hear me bitch about it anymore. At least till a certain someone has the baby and then he's gone again. But still, I will take it. All day long, twice on Sundays, he's back.
It's on his way back.
I should still get a point for it, but because he didn't show his face, I don't get a point for it.
No. Anyway, so all that aside, I think the change of character is less dark. More culty, maybe.
Well, no, he needs to go dark. That was the thing. That was the one problem I feel like, not that I have any right to make this criticism, but I feel like the one problem with the Woken character was they legit suck the darkness out of him.
Yeah, okay.
And the whole thing is he's dark and creepy.
Away from the Wyatt character, but more, maybe sinister is the best way. Not dark, but sinister.
Yeah, he needs to be more sinister.
I think we're getting away from the dark and eerie promos to more sinister.
Well, no, I think you can keep the dark and eerie promos. It adds to the sinister.
But I'm just saying that's what they may be doing. We'll see.
I don't know. That was kind of dark and eerie. He had a buzzard in a smoking box. I mean, you know, he was in a darkened room. There was no lantern
yet.
We'll see if there's the lantern or not.
It'll be there. Anyway, we'll see what happens. It's something to look forward to.
It's a sign of life.
But that's it.
Does it for us.
That's the Raw Post Show. Tomorrow, 10:30 p.m. Eastern, available at RockRadioShow.com and WildTalkRadio.com will be the Rock Extra Reviews Ms. and Mrs. Season 1, Episode 8. We'll be live Thursday night for the Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern.
That's right. Tune in. We are going to be doing our WrestleMania recap. All 20 billion matches. We'll be talking about everything. We're also going to have news, notes, SmackDown, NXT, all your favorites. Is the Rack Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com. If you want to hear us talk all about TakeOver and review that, we did that last Friday. That's in the archives for your listening pleasure at WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com.
Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Saturday night, midnight-ish, is CB Radio, CBRadioLive.com. CBRadioLive on Facebook, Twitter, CBRadioLive.com. Sunday night, if there's stuff to talk about, Russell Talk Radio will be live, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday night, Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Facebook, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio Network, Twitter.com/WildTalkRadio, Twitch.tv/WGLive is where you follow and subscribe. Use creator code ROCKETSOCK in the Fortnite item shop, and you play Fortnite, maybe we have a way for you to play with us. Maybe. We'll see.
Phrasing.
I said in Fortnite.
Phrasing.
Anyway, it's been the Raw Post Show. Presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. She's Lindsay, I am Rock. We'll see you Thursday night for the Rack. And right back here for the Raw Post Show every Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. Alone to Airways at Wild Talk Radio Network. Streaming live right here at WildTalkRadio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.